Hi, this is Tim Miller from Yext, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Franchise Foundry and Minolta Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hi there, this is Deb Evans coming to you live from Houston. You're listening to Social Geek Radio.
And Jack Munson live in Chicago, Illinois on Social Geek Radio. How you doing today, Deb?
Doing great. Loving our new technology. I know I mentioned this before, but every time I talk into this Blue Yeti, I just get excited. It's podcasting time and time for Social Geek Radio, and I just feel so geeky.
Right. You're live from the Social Geek Radio South studios, yeah, and I'm up here in the Northern studios. So, and along with us today, sort of in the Northern studio area, is our special guest. Why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, Deb?
You know, I have to start and probably embarrass her a little bit, but when I started attending the IFA convention, Susan Beth was one of the first presenters that I went to a session, and she was presenting, and I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember what it was. I think it was on franchise development, but one of the first presenters that I made me feel very comfortable. She was somebody that I thought, I think she's someone I can look up to and can be a mentor. And I walked up after the session and introduced myself. And I think since then, and I don't know how many years ago, it has just been a friendship that was developed with somebody I've always looked up to. And Susan, you just ooze franchising and personality, and you make everybody so comfortable. I know you mentor so many people within the franchise industry. So I'm thrilled to death to have you here with us on Social Geek Radio.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. I'm blown away. Thank you.
Well, and you've filled so many roles within franchising since that first time I met you with Superwash, and you talked about that. So why don't you let everybody know now, you know, what is it that Susan's doing within this wide world of franchising and what NRD Capital is, and, you know, give us the big picture of your life on an airplane.
Yeah, exactly. That is kind of where it's taking place right now. But after 14 years of being back in the family business at Superwash Car Washes, the last 6 or 7 as their chief operating officer, I made the decision to retire, move on, and try a new challenge. And it was really for that reason. I just wanted to continue to challenge myself and learn new things and hopefully help my boys understand that sometimes we got to spread our wings, and there's a chance we might fall on our face, and there's a chance it might go really well and we're going to soar. But I wanted to have the opportunity to do that and kind of step outside the safety of the family business, which had been just an amazing ride. And I'm so grateful for everything I learned from my parents and my sister and my uncle and everybody I got to work with. But it was time. And Aziz Hashim, the general partner and founder of NRD Capital, and I had gotten to know each other, Deb similar, and Jack through the IFA. And we had been on the speaking circuit together early on, and then we were both serving on the IFA board of directors, and just kind of knew that both of our thoughts were aligned about how franchisors and franchisees optimally work together. And that's when you really look at the relationship as a partnership, and not really a command and control from a franchisor perspective, but really understanding that franchisees have put, in often cases, everything they have on the line to take this shot at being an entrepreneur and fulfilling the American dream. And so Aziz and I had kind of gotten to know that about one another, and he had let me know that he was working on creating this fund, and I didn't really know how or if that was going to play out at all. But he provided me an opportunity to join his fund. So in December of 2014, I took that leap, and our team at NRD Capital, which is Aziz at the helm, and then myself, our operating partner, Scott Schubiger, and another of our operating partners, Harrison Price, along with Brianna Williams and Danielle in our office at the reception, we started NRD Capital on January 19th of 2015. So I'm very proud and pleased to have joined that group. And we kicked off on that day. really working hard towards our very first investment, which we knew would be a really sizable one if we could get it across the finish line. And I think a lot of people know that first platform brand was a company called Frisch's Big Boy Restaurant. And that was a public company that had been owned and operated and run by a family for approximately 100 years. And Aziz did Herculean work to bring the fund together and then to get that deal to come to fruition. And so that's the main portfolio brand right now. And we are a private equity company out looking at making additional acquisitions.
What a great brand to start off with. I mean, just from a brand perspective and just that iconic Big Boy brand, that had to be a lot of fun getting involved with that from the ground floor, right?
It has been I have learned so much. I'm not a restaurant girl. I'm a car wash girl. And so it has been just a tremendous learning experience for me, not only getting to learn from Aziz, but there's 82 corporate employees that we were able to spend time with during the week one transition, which happened in late August. And I was there leading those meetings and discussions with those team members. And amongst those 82 that we were able to spend one-on-one time with, there's 2,157 years of combined Frisch's experience within that group. And so I am delighted to be able to say these guys and gals are teaching me more about restaurant operations. I can't go into any restaurant now and just have dinner without looking at whether the napkin is stamped or not stamped. What is the to-go container? How's the menu look? Do they serve water or don't they serve water? Pepsi or Coke? All those things now. I wish I could just go to dinner, but I fear that part of my life has ended. Now I'm starting to become a restaurant girl, which is a ton of fun. And it has been a blast bringing my husband and my kids along for that ride. My kids now go, because we look at a lot of restaurant companies to partner with and invest in, and so we'll get a lead on a company, and so I'll load up everybody and we'll go to dinner at the closest one we can find, and my kids now will help me evaluate service and the presentation of the food and, you know, the shake selection for desserts, all those kinds of things. So it has been just a great family experience.
That is really great that you can bring, because I know your family was involved before, but to be able to partner with them and let your boys see what, you know, life is like in franchising, and, you know, giving their and I'm sure you take their feedback very seriously, because I know you as a parent, but that's great. That's very exciting to pull the whole family together.
It is, and I'll tell you, Frisch's has a full commissary. And it's a great asset of that company. And in at Frisch's, onion rings are a big to-do, and they're delicious. And in the commissary, there is a room just for cutting onions. And so when the onion cutters are going, you can imagine what walking into that room is like. And so you walk in, and your eyes just start tearing immediately. And after the corporate chef tells us that after like 10 or 15 minutes, that stops. The sulfur, it just stops the burning and you won't experience it anymore. But our family and our best friends and their kids went in to tour, and here's the onion room, and our eyes are running and they're burning. My mascara is down my face, and we're blinking, 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 and we move on and finish our tour, and we get to the end. And I said, guys, what did you think? And my kids are 9 and 7. And I said, guys, what did you think? What do you really like about that business, or what would you do different? And my oldest son, who's 9, he said, Mom, I think that the people that work in the onion room should make a little bit more than the people that work in the bakery. and it was just such a heartfelt but honest, but he appreciates what each set of people do in that commissary to bring fresh, delicious food to people. So I love that as a parent, and I love seeing them get to learn too.
And he'll think of that every time he has onion rings for the rest of his life, right?
For the rest of
he'll
his
always
life.
Appreciate that person who had to cut the onion rings up.
Yeah, and I think when I cut an onion, I'm going to think, oh, I thank God it's just one, and I'm not in
just
a room
one.
Full of 100.
Yes, hundreds of pounds onions flow through this place. And that's one of the great things about being on this side now is, I think with the prevalence of restaurants, I'll get up on my soapbox for a second, but with the prevalence of restaurants, we tend to forget that our food does come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody prepared that all the way back to cutting that original onion ring for us.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's just really been a great firsthand reminder, and I am so grateful for all the work that gets done, that we get to sit down and have a family meal at a restaurant, which is a treat for our family, and have that time together around the table. So it's been, let me summarize by saying, it's been great learning and great fun kind of all around.
And, you know, and I think besides just having the great family meal and spending time with the family, what's interesting to me is you're experiencing the customer experience the way a customer really does, you know, not as an executive that flies into town, maybe with a colleague or maybe by yourself, and you go in and you inspect a place and you, you know, give it the once over, and you're actually going in and sitting down with the family the way that 95% of the customers actually do. So I think there's something really valuable there as well.
I agree, and I love it. I love just going in as a customer and asking questions and you know, just seeing what that experience is like. And I will say, you know, I did that a fair amount on the car wash side too, but I know you guys have heard the phrase, sometimes you're too close to the trees to know you're in a forest. And when we get so deep into ops, or we've done it for so long, I think it's a little bit of the same. You get so close to the trees, you forget you're in a forest. Well, right now, I'm far enough up out of the trees that I know I'm in a forest, and I'm getting to look at the whole, the kind of the whole big picture. And it's so fascinating how much the hospitality side, the service side, and what that, that server, what a real impact they make on your meal. You know, great food tastes just even better when it's served with a smile.
Oh yeah.
So that's been cool to me to get to see again. Whereas on the car wash side, I think I had just done it for so long that I knew it was important, but I think I'd perhaps missed the ripple effect of it. And so I'm starting to see the forest again, guys, which has been
nice.
It's been great.
You're starting to sound like a restaurant girl.
I'm going to try, but I tell you what, to my core, I'm still a car wash gal. And I can get out there and rough and tumble with those car wash boys any day. But it's been fun.
So while we're talking about restaurants, tell us what types of brands or types of companies look really attractive to you right now. Is it primarily restaurants that you're focused on? Are you looking outside of restaurants as well?
Yeah, so NRD Capital is focused on the restaurant space. It's where we feel like a great niche for us is going to be, predominantly because of Aziz's experience in the space as a multi-unit franchisee and multi-brand, my gosh, several organizations he's been a part of, and I think that's where his real passion lies. That being said, he also has a great vision, and I think the rest of the team really shares it too, that there are certain industries and segments of the franchise business that are very much in lockstep with what the future trends of the country look like if we just focus on the U.S. And so not only are we interested in food, and kind of food across all variables, not just fast food or fast casual, but we're obviously Frisch's and family dining, and so we're looking across many of the sectors of restaurants. But we're also looking at early childhood education, health, beauty, sort of fitness, wellness, however you kind of want to put all those groups together. And then senior care is of interest to us too. And so I would kind of package it up and say consumer retail has been fascinating to us. There's a lot on the fitness side, guys, that's just been really great to see. And again, some of the specialty retail. The thing that any franchise company is going to hear from any private equity group is this whole fad risk, right? That's a major investment kind of hurdle that private equity folks have to get over when they're learning about a new brand, is what do we feel the potential fad risk is with a certain group. And so that's just a little bit for our franchisor friends that might be listening today. But if you hear that phrase, that's one of the things that we're trying to assess, is do we think that this is a brand that has long-term staying power? So those are some of the groups that we're really interested in talking to at this point. But I'll tell you what, we're all about unit economics. So to the event that a franchisor could come to us and might be outside our four or five main industries, and they can show us phenomenal unit economics where a franchisee can go into that business and truly support their family and make a living out of that business, you will get our attention.
And I would assume it's still down to the unit economics where people are making a decision. But are there other things that you're seeing now that are maybe a little bit new to the industry that you didn't see in years past on why or how people are making a decision on a franchise or how they're growing their business that might be kind of new?
You're speaking from the franchisee side?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I see anything too new. I think the main thing, even when I was a franchisee in the late 90s and early 2000s, I think it still comes down to, you know, obviously great unit economics. Can you achieve whatever your personal goals are out of those, whether that's an annual take-home pay or whether that's putting a certain number of people into business, so being a job creator, whether that's, you know, having your longer-term goals of being able to buy a second home or send your kids to college or whatnot. I think all of that still stems there. And I think it's really about people finding their passion. And, you know, as a professional speaker, I think that's probably one of the main things I talk about is people's passion buckets and how full are they. And at a certain point, maybe when you're in corporate America or otherwise, you know, your passion bucket working for somebody else maybe runs low. And so those are the folks I think that tend to look towards franchising and becoming franchisees as a real opportunity, Jack. So I don't know that I would say it's anything new, but hopefully folks are just being reminded that when you do find that thing or that space or that cause that really just fills your passion bucket, boy, and then if the unit economics are also there, what a great way to go into business for yourself and support your family and live the dream.
We were talking a bit earlier about the growth piece, and you were saying that you had spoken recently at the Springboard event. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the advice that you might give someone on the growth piece of your economics?
Yeah, so my personal take is, and this was with a great panel of folks at Springboard too, is that we kind of did an equation, which is growth equals capital plus knowledge. And that was the equation. And I really think that part of the struggle that a lot of young franchisors get into, and Deb, you certainly know, and Jack, you've been around franchising a long time too, that young franchisors or emerging franchisors, everybody has a little bit different definition of where you fall on the scale mm-hmm. when you're young. But for me, it's those folks that are just trying to get those first sort of 20, 30 out of the ground. And when you go into that part of your growth cycle undercapitalized, and you're waiting for franchise fees and development agreement fees and royalty fees to start to kick in to really support your growth cycle, I think that's a really troublesome spot to start from. Everything's got to go exactly right. And having been a chief operating officer responsible for a lot of franchisee relationships and having converted a system from licensing to franchising, so dealt with a lot of franchisee kind of just angst, I would say that that's a tough spot, because then you're forced into making a decision and perhaps choosing franchisees from a bit of a place of desperation and not necessarily from a great opportunity standpoint. So I would say being really well capitalized is an important part, whether that's, you know, your own money, whether that's friends and family money, whether that's venture capital money, or, you know, private equity money typically comes further down the life cycle than those earlier startups. But being capitalized is important. And then making sure that you surround yourself with really talented people, whether that is great folks who are consultants to the industry, or whether it's with a great growth engine company, whether it's with a family member who's maybe got an area of expertise that you just don't have. And I think it's having the guts to say, I don't know how to do that. You know, knowing what you don't know and being willing to ask for help there, I think is really a crucial piece of this puzzle. And just being able to get the right folks into the right seats on the bus, to use that old analogy too. But growth equals capital, like financial capital, and human capital. So that mm-hmm. knowledge piece. Really, really important to build on a solid foundation as opposed to a bit of a house of cards.
Excellent. I love that. Growth equals capital plus knowledge. And if you don't have the capital or you don't have the knowledge, we need to go back to the drawing board, right?
Right. Yep. And so often, I know you guys have seen lots of companies this way too, and I don't fault anybody for this. This is just the way that business sometimes happens. I can tell you what, my parents did not think they were going to build over 700 self-serve car washes they were a high school biology teacher and a radiology secretary at the local hospital. So they didn't think that's where they were headed, and they just got started, and then that snowball started rolling. So I know and appreciate that that's the way the world works. But sometimes we start with one or two or three of a certain, you know, a restaurant, let's say, and you build the second one and you build the third one, and it's going great. And then somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, I want to own one of these things. Why don't you franchise it? And then you start to franchise, and you know, you've invested several hundred thousand dollars to get that program up and running. And it is very different, in my opinion, to be an executive, a CEO of a franchisor, than it is to be the CEO of a closely held family or private business. It's just a different skill set. Working with franchisees and interacting with them and making sure that their business goals are your goals, and getting them there is your main purpose. That's different than being really focused on just running company stores.
Very, you're expanding that reach and that family, because I know you said you had, you know, 700 some franchisees, and in your culture of that franchise system was one big family, and you care about each one and their success, and you I'm sure you always felt very accountable to how well their business did, you know, profits and lost and things like that. So,
well,
very good
I'll tell
advice.
You, something very unique about Superwash that I always, well, when I was 19, I thought my parents were cuckoo, but now that I'm older than that, I understand the wisdom in what they were doing. I think that happens to all of us. We start to recognize our parents' wisdom as we get older. But my parents had an unwritten rule that every person that ever served on their executive leadership team had to have active interest in at least one Superwash. And the reason that they did that is because we are a very weather-dependent business, and they wanted us to understand what it felt like to still have to pay the gas bill, to still have to pay payroll, to still have to do all the things that small business owners have to do, even when it rains for 3 months. Which, you can imagine, when it rains for 3 months in a row in the car wash business, you don't make a lot of money.
Right.
But you still have your obligations to meet. And my parents did not want anybody on their executive team to just proverbially pat a franchisee on the back and say, oh, well, it'll stop raining eventually. You know, make sure that your royalty payment gets in on the 15th of the month. Everything will be okay. Okay, take care. Goodbye. They wanted us to really understand what that panic feels like and what the elation feels like when things are going really good. And so that was part of their unwritten rule, and that's why when I was 19 and my sister was 25, we bought our first Superwash Super. And that was the reason. And I'm really grateful for that experience now, but at the time I was kicking and screaming a bit.
That's fantastic. We're speaking tonight with Susan Beth, operating partner of NRD Capital. In the few minutes we have left, Susan, tell us anything new at NRD, any new projects that you're working on that you can tell us about, or fun places that you're off to this week.
Well, what I have quickly learned in the world of private equity is that it is completely cloaked in confidentiality, Jack. So we are coming up on Halloween, and this feels like a very good cloaked in confidentiality time. But the main thing I would say, we are looking at adding a couple of additional brands to our portfolio. We're very excited about those opportunities. You never want to kind of count a chicken before it's hatched, certainly. But we're really excited about some of the great founders that we are working with. Gosh, there are just some really neat people that we are blessed to be friends with. Of course, Deb Wright, and also just get to see how they run their businesses and how they think, and progressive thinkers. So we're very excited to get to work with founders and family members and just business executives and leaders. But we talked a little bit about restaurants. That'll continue to be a big place for us. Some of the consumer retail stuff is going to be exciting. But you know what? Frisch's is where it's at right now. And we are just having a great time getting in there up to our elbows with that team and really just saying, hey, you know, we're here to help you through this process. And we're excited about that. One of the, I guess I would say, kind of the three main things that we hear at NRD Capital when we talk to new companies is that they really appreciate the fact that we have operational expertise and that we know what it's like from both sides of the desk to be a franchisor and to be a franchisee, and that we get that we get it and that those how those pieces work. Most oftentimes when I'm talking to a new brand that's interested in having us invest in their companies, they say, Susan, I don't need just your check. I can go get a check pretty much anywhere. I need your expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they get very excited about. So that's kind of piece one that makes us a little bit different. Piece number two is that we really are a pretty small fund, even though it was Herculean work, and Aziz did an amazing job, and we're very, very grateful to our limited partners for stepping up and going on this journey with us. We're a relatively small fund. We are not going to be the ones that compete just on check size. We've got this great opportunity to be flexible in our investment size, though. So Frisch's is a very, very large transaction, and now we've got everything in between. We can go all the way down to kind of, you know, 35, 40, 50 units on the small side, up to sort of, you know, 400 or 500, depending on the opportunity. So we're very excited about the ability to be flexible and be real nimble in this space. And the third part is that our multi-unit, multi-brand limited partners that funded our capital campaign, if you will, funded our NRD capital, they are very interested in building new units of the brands that we bring to the table. And so we really feel like that's a neat and core competency to this brand, is that we've got access to these multi-unit, multi-brand franchisees and a whole other slate of franchisee candidates as well. So we talked about the growth piece, you guys. And growth is capital plus knowledge. Very frankly, it's also about resources and being able to get to the right franchisees. And Dev and Jack, you guys spend a lot of your time talking about how do you find the right franchisees to build your brand on. And we feel like one of the things we really bring to the companies that we're going to partner with is, you know, access to a great base of potential franchisees to start with. So we're super excited about that. And that's some of the new stuff going on over here. Every day is a new day, and it's very exciting, and I just continue to be so grateful for all of my experiences at Superwash, and I love my team over there. They're great people, and it's been so fun to now converse with my parents just on a different level and about business, and my sister as well. She's great, smart people. But then to go on now and see that all of those experiences in that business really can benefit somebody else, and the next brands that we talk to, that fills my passion bucket.
I was just going to say, it sounds like your passion bucket is very full.
I'm going to do the same.
If anybody has any follow-up questions, or they'd like to learn a little bit more about NRD Capital, or maybe they've just got some questions, or they're seeking some advice from you, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you?
Yeah, please. Email is the best way to grab me, and that email address is just S, as in Susan, sbeth@nrdcapital.com. You can also find me through our website, which is nrdcapital.com, and we've got all of our V cards on there and can connect through us that way.
Excellent. Very good. And we'll put that information on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page as well, in case someone is looking to get a quick answer to a question. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Susan Beth of NRD Capital, and we look forward to catching up with you at the next IFA event.
Me too, guys. Thanks for having me. This has been super. I appreciate it. Thanks for all the hard work you guys do too.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks so much.